Judges chapter 3 and verse 8. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Shushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Shushan Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Shushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Shushan Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Our gracious God, even as we have read of how the Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel, we pray that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon this weak earthen vessel. And Lord, I pray indeed that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon each one of us who know Christ, and that he will give us a vision of the Savior. And I pray, Lord, that thou wilt even remember those who are unconverted, perhaps in this meeting tonight. Lord, you know the hearts of all men. And Lord, we just pray that if there is one in the meeting tonight who is not in a right relationship with the Lord, we pray that the Spirit of the Lord will bring them back from the paths of sin and will draw them to the Savior. So, Lord, have mercy upon us and remember us. I pray that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ may be applied to my own heart just now. And I pray, Lord, that thou wilt cleanse me from all sin. And I ask, Lord, that thou wilt help me to speak the words that you once spoken. I pray, Lord, for the gracious help of the Holy Spirit, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we come to think about Othniel. Now, there are many pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ here in the book of Judges. And we could have gone to many other parts of the book of Judges to speak about Christ. We could have spoken simply on the title Judges, because these 12 men who were raised up to deliver Israel, they were called judges. And each one of them speaks of the great judge of all the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we could have gone down that line tonight. We could perhaps have looked into that particular name, Judges, and gone a wee bit deeper into it, because that name, Judge, actually means Savior. Or as we have already said, Deliverer. So when it refers to the judges, it is referring to saviors. And of course we know how often in the Word of God that Christ is referred to as a savior. Indeed, he's referred to not just as a savior, but the savior. What did those men who were converted through the woman at the well say? What did those men say? They said, this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. We could, of course, think about the fact that Othniel was the first of the judges. And we could have gone into that tonight. He was the first of these 12 judges. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who must have first place. And indeed, we can go further tonight. We can say that he is the one who has first place. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Or first place, we would say. But tonight, we are going to come at our study from a different angle. Because during the past week, I was looking at this man, Othniel, and I noticed that he has a very interesting name. And I thought it would be interesting tonight for us to think about the meaning of his name. Those of you who were here this morning will have heard me say that the name Othniel literally means the Lion of God. The Lion of God. And immediately, our thoughts should be drawn to the book of Revelation, where it speaks of Christ. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. There's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the great titles that's given to Christ. So Othniel was the Lion of God. And he certainly deserved the title because he delivered the people of Israel. And he was a man of great courage and bravery. He was a lion, metaphorically speaking. But you know, there's someone who even more so is the Lion of God. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to think about the Savior tonight. And we are going to think about lions themselves. Because lions are very interesting animals. And I want us to, for a few minutes, as we come to the end of the meeting, I want us to look at lions. And even as we consider lions, we get a picture of the Savior. I want you first of all to think about the prestige of the lion. The prestige of the lion. What is the lion known as? The king of the beasts. Or perhaps some would say the king of the jungle. The lion is the king of the animal kingdom. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ has great prestige as well. You see, he's the king. And thank God there are those in the meeting tonight who can honestly say that he's the king of their lives. Not that they're perfect, but they've just consecrated themselves to Christ. And they're surrendered to him. And their attitude is, by the grace of God, I will do what I can for the cause of Christ. And he's king of your life. And if you have surrendered to Christ, he is the king of your life. But you know, Scripture often refers to him as the king. Time and time again, the Word of God refers to Christ as the king. Way back in the book of Psalms, he's referred to as the King of Glory. Psalm 24. Move to the book of Daniel, and he's referred to as the King of Heaven. Daniel chapter 4. You move into the New Testament, and the Jews did not like the fact that he was known as the King of the Jews. The religious leaders wanted Pilate to remove that superscription from the cross that said, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And how could we forget that great title that's given to him in the book of 1 Timothy? And we all know it so well, King of Kings. King of Kings. And when you come to the final book of the Bible, he's referred to as the King of Saints. He is the King of Saints. So don't forget the prestige of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget that he is the King. Don't forget that, as we've just sung, he is on the throne more about Jesus on his throne, riches of glory, all his own, more of his kingdom, sure increase, more of his coming, Prince of Peace. We live in a world where there are many people who would like to think that Christ has been dethroned. And there are many people who live as if he has been dethroned. Well, we have got news for them tonight. He's still on the throne. And he'll always be on the throne. And no amount of demonic activity and no amount of evil will ever take him from his throne. But let me get back to the all-important question tonight, dear friend. Is he the king of your life? Is he on the throne of your life? That's the question that we have to ask. And we all must face up to that question. So that's the first thought that I want us to meditate upon tonight. The prestige of the lion. Not only the prestige of the lion, but think with me tonight about the power of the lion. The power of the lion. Oh, what great power the lion possesses. And he uses that power to fight. And whenever the lion fights, the lion's power comes to the fore. And there are very few in the animal kingdom who will square up to the lion. Lions fight when they want a bride, or a pride, I should say. Whenever they want a pride, whenever they want to gain female lions, they will fight for the pride. And they will display their power. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't fight for a pride, but he fought for a word that sounds very similar, a bride. A bride. And the Lord Jesus Christ displayed his power, and he began his great fight on Calvary's brow. And the power of the lion of the tribe of Judah was evident for all to see, because the book of Colossians reminds us that he defeated the powers of hell. Now, the powers of hell have significant power. Indeed, they have great power, and we are no match for them. But the powers of hell, they cannot contend with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan has great power, but his power fades into insignificance when it's compared to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could put it like this. The old roaring lion, that old devouring lion, the devil, he has great power. But the lion of the tribe of Judah, he has all power. And let me read to you that verse that I referred to from the book of Colossians. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now listen to this. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The hymn writer said, he said that the Lord Jesus Christ is the great victor. And he is, you know. He is the great victor. He is the great conqueror. He has conquered over the powers of hell. And dear friends, you know why he had to conquer over the powers of hell? You know why he had to fight the old adversary at the cross? So that you might be saved. So that you might be forgiven. You see, dear friend, tonight, those of you who are in the meeting without Christ, you've never been saved, perhaps. Yes, you're good. And you're likable. And you're friendly and you're warm, but you're not saved. Dear friend, you have no power when it comes to facing the enemy. Now, to you at the present moment in time, as you sit in this church service, you mightn't be too concerned about the power of the enemy. But I'll tell you, there will come a time when you will be concerned about the power of the enemy. You know when you'll be really concerned about the power of the enemy? Whenever death comes to you. And when death puts its cold hands around you. And you feel the breath draining from your body. You'll have no power against the power of the enemy. Because you know what's going to happen when you come to die, dear friend? The old enemy will come to you. And he'll claim you for his own. And he'll take you to be with himself for all eternity. And as you're dragged to the caverns of the damned, oh, how you'll wish that you had given in to the lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, how you'll long that you had been wise and that you had turned to Christ and that you had humbled yourself. And had you humbled yourself, the old devouring lion could have no power over you when it comes to the hour of death. What great power the Lord Jesus Christ has, and when it comes to the hour of death for every Christian, his power will be displayed once again, because by his great power he will take the child of God to heaven. He will bring the child of God safely to the other side, and they will be with him forever. The power of the lion. But think about the peculiarity of the lion. The peculiarity of the lion. Lions are a very peculiar animal, you know. Not that I've ever been particularly near to one, nor would I ever want to be near to one. But they are peculiar. They are very unique. Did you know that lions love to mark out their territory? Lions love to let the other animals know what's the territory of the king of the jungle. They like to let the other animals know what's the territory of the king of the beasts. They mark out their territory. And you know how they go about it? They will go to a tree, and they'll mark the tree. Two 2,000 years ago, our great lion of the tribe of Judah marked the tree. The Lord Jesus Christ, heaven's great lion, he went to the tree, that old rugged cross, and I tell you, dear friends, he marked the tree. And you know what he was doing when he died on that old rugged cross? He was saying to the devil, "This earth belongs to me. This is my creation. And I've come to reclaim it." And as it were upon the cross, Christ was saying, "You, Satan, have usurped my rightful position. But I've come to put you off your throne. I've come to reclaim the throne, as it were." And the Lord Jesus Christ came to reclaim his territory. And this earth does belong to Christ. Psalm 24, verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the sea, and they that dwell therein." Lions mark out their territory. Let me ask you the question tonight. Are you part of the territory of the lion of the tribe of Judah? Do you belong to him? If you don't belong to him, you belong to the other lion. You belong to that old lion that Peter spoke about. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So what's your answer tonight? Which lion do you belong to? Lions love to mark out their territory. And first of all, they will go to a tree and mark out their territory. But lions also like to go to a rock to mark out their territory. And when a lion wants to ward off rival males, he will not only go to the tree and mark the tree, but he will go to a rock and he will put his claws to the rock, and he'll mark the rock with his claws. The Lord Jesus Christ has marked the rock, you know. 2,000 years ago, he was laid in a rock. He was laid in a grave. But it's empty. And the Lord Jesus Christ on the third day rose triumphant over the grave, and he came out of the rock. But the mark is still there. And you know what really irritates atheists today? Now, this is the one thing that gets up the nose of every atheist. They can think of that place in the city of Jerusalem, that grave, that tomb hewn out of the rock. And that tomb today stands as proof that there is a God, and that that God came into our world 2,000 years ago, and he went to the cross, and he went to the grave. But he came out of the grave. And you know, that thought terrifies every atheist on the planet. Every devil worshipper in the planet. Every Satanist on this planet. That thought perplexes them. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has marked the rock. Our blessed lion has marked the rock. And as we mentioned to the children this morning, the fact that Christ is risen from the dead, that should strike terror into the heart of every person who's not right with God. Because the fact that he's risen from the dead, because the fact that he has marked the rock, as it were, that fact tells us that he is coming back to be the judge. One day, the Lord Jesus Christ will return to judge those who have rejected him. So we've thought tonight about the prestige of the lion, we've thought about the power of the lion, we've thought about the peculiarity of the lion. But I want us to finish with one other thought tonight. Think about the presence of the lion. The presence of the lion. And we're thinking particularly about his roar. His roar. Whenever a lion roars, the other animals take note, and humans and every living thing that finds itself near to the lion, they know all about it when the lion roars. Do you know that sometimes when a lion roars, that there's a great cloud of dust? Such is the presence of the lion. Such is the power and the authority of the lion. And what majesty there is in his roar. Well, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. He can roar too. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh my, he can roar. And he has roared, you know. 150 years ago, he roared. And he roared upon little Ulster. And my, the devil hasn't recovered from it till this day. The roar of the lion. Revival came 150 years ago. Do you know what our prayer, I was going to say, do you know what our prayer should be? But I know that I should put it another way. Our prayer is, I know that you're praying for revival. Our prayer is that the lion will roar again. That the lion of the tribe of Judah will roar upon our little province once again, putting the enemies of the gospel to flight and bringing in a great revival upon us. Oh my, what a blessed thing whenever the lion of the tribe of Judah roars upon a nation. Deaf ears are unstopped, and people who have sat under sermon after sermon after sermon, and they remain unmoved. The problem is that the lion hasn't roared. But whenever the lion roars and whenever the lion speaks to sinners, they cannot remain unmoved. Oh, that the Lord might in mercy lift up his voice upon us again. Oh, that the lion of the tribe of Judah would roar upon us even just one more time. We often talk about being in the last days. We often talk about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, that before he returns, oh, that he might roar upon us once again. Oh, that the enemies of the cross might hear the roar of heaven's great lion. But you know, dear friends, we have touched on his return, and you know that's going to be the greatest roar of all. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and one day he will return. Of that we're convinced. The Word of God makes it abundantly clear. There is coming a day whenever Christ will return for his pride, if we can put it like that. Are you part of his pride? Or to use the scriptural term, are you part of his bride? I cannot tell how all the land shall worship. When at his bidding every storm is stilled, or who can say how great the jubilation, when all the hearts of men with love are filled, but this I know, the skies will thrill with rapture, and myriad, myriad human voices sing, and earth to heaven and heaven to earth will answer, at last the Saviour, Saviour of the world, is King. I cannot tell how he will win the nations, how he will claim his earthly heritage, how satisfy the needs and aspirations of east and west, of sinner and of sage. But this I know, all flesh shall see his glory, and he shall reap the harvest he has sown, and some glad day his sun shall shine in splendor, when he, the Saviour, Saviour of the world, is known.